The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mark my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim Deal Double G.
Welcome back, Tim!
The Chronicle returns.
That's right.
I'm back, baby. So after a two-week layoff, I am back, better than ever, newly married, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Congratulations to you and your families.
Thank you. Still jobless, but that'll get sorted itself out in the meantime.
In the near future.
All in due time.
It's actually a running joke now between the two of us.
Oh, no.
But let's see. So, yeah, there was two shows while I was gone. I heard they were great. I haven't listened to them yet because of the whole honeymoon and whatnot.
We need to pay those people who said they were great.
Ah! I'm sure one of them is Matt Wang, who's going to be watching at some point, either tonight or he's at Equinox, getting his workout on the weekend.
Sure.
Let's see. Go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews whenever I get back to those. On the website, you can see social media buttons to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, subscribe to our newsletter, all those good things.
Google Spaces.
Yeah.
Not really.
We are without at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter tonight as he's out of town, but you can go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. Let's see, we're also part of the Coast of the Podcast Network. Go to cspn.us and do it today. I'm going to start adding that into the do it today when I talk about CSPN. Shout out to the CSPN overlord at Classic Materia.
And at Beauty underscore Jackson.
Oh, yes. Word. The dynamic duo.
There you go.
Let's see, we're also, what else do we have? We have a Redbubble account where you can buy Comic Book Chronicles merchandise, and that is at redbubble.com/people/CSPN/shop. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, the Google Play, all the different podcasting locations.
Yeah, we are there. We are on those.
All right. So, of course, as y'all talked about on last week's show, at least a little bit, San Diego Comic-Con was last week. Over the weekend, lots of good things came out of that. Announcements, new books, new series, breaking news. But we'll get to all that in the second portion of the show because we, of course, after the little intro we just did, we get to reviewing this week's comic books. And there were a lot of them.
Yep. Roddy Cat, did we intro you?
Oh, yeah, I didn't intro anyone, did I? I'm doing the show solo.
I was waiting for you to notice.
See, now
I was totally waiting for you to notice.
About a couple weeks ago, that's fine.
That's what the two-week layoff gets you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, yo, he just rolled right into the credits.
I was like, all right, he's doing all right. Well,
there we go.
That was my internal joke to myself. Was like, what am I going to forget in the intro?
Okay, done that one.
That's why I should actually, that's my goal, to actually like have a printout that I can just read.
Yeah, we need to do that because I always forget how we sign off.
Well, that's why I have the stuff on the dock except for that part.
Yeah, that sort of helps me like forget, you know, when I forget like CSPN and whatnot. But I need like actual written word for word, say this.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
But yes, I'm joined by at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? Good to be here.
And we also have the man behind the sound effects at AJ_70.
What's up, everybody? And I think even Matt Wang noticed.
Of course he did. I can't say anything bad about Matt because he got me a San Diego Comic-Con gift.
Nice.
Nice. So,
I'm sure it wasn't the $70 Black Panther jacket I told him not to get me. Not for the price is a little too steep for me at the moment, so
yeah,
had to pass.
Yeah. Understood. It's all
so,
good.
So now the intros are out the way so that we can get the comics now, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Cool. All right, so this is such a big week. Kind of not sure what to start with. Is there a certain book that's speaking to you that you want to, either you gentlemen want to jump to right now?
I suppose it's probably like 2 or 3 at this
point. Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I guess we just need to cover Civil War II, number 4. So in this chapter of the summer crossover event, we have kind of the aftermath of the trial of, spoiler alert, Hawkeye, who stands accused of the murder of Bruce Banner, a.k.a. the Incredible Hulk. And what we find out is that it was a pretty unexpected verdict. And moving on from there, we have all sorts of guilt trips and second thoughts about how to proceed with these supposed visions that that Ulysses has. And we also have Tony Stark kind of going to, trying to obtain counsel from basically the former Illuminati, and including Steve Rogers, who we all know right now as Captain Hydra or Hydra Cap. So it's a very interesting time, because you're trying to figure out how Bendis is going to play what we all know to be the case, how these characters are interacting, and what we end up having is the precursors to an epic throwdown. So that's pretty much the cliffhanger in this. Without spoiling everything in the book, that's pretty much the gist. So basically, we're moving forward toward a confrontation between the two sides of the conflict.
My question is, the backup that Carol gets, why wouldn't this backup necessarily also perhaps have Tony Stark's back?
Well, if we're talking about the backup that's sort of coming from off-world, you have a point.
Yes.
I'm not 100% sure about that, especially some of the characters who were there, especially one blue-eyed nephew of our sweet Aunt Petunia.
I will say that in their last issue that came out, I think like 2 weeks ago, Carol did make a call to this group, so maybe
right.
Carol mm-hmm. got to him first.
Right, yeah, and explained her side.
Well, see, and I think a couple of issues here and there have been slightly off, because if you recall, Ms. Marvel, the last issue of Ms. Marvel was supposed to come after Captain Marvel number 6, but it came out before it. So I think there's probably a couple of that happening in the weeks, and that might be why. So technically, maybe that's kind of happening after the next mm-hmm. Guardians.
Possible.
I don't know. I don't know.
I will say I've enjoyed this issue a lot for a couple reasons. I like the whole Tony Stark what looked like a one-on-one conversation that turned out wasn't.
Right.
Because I kept guessing. I was like, okay, who is he talking to? First, I kept going back and forth between Steve Rogers and Victor Von Doom.
I thought it was Doom as well.
But then he actually used Dr. Doom's name during his little monologue. I was like, well, if he's not going to use his name and then be like, I'm also talking about you. So that wouldn't have made much sense.
Right.
And then, of course,
Doom talked about himself in the third person before, so.
Then what we all know that's going on behind the scenes in Captain America, Steve Rogers, that just makes going to him for advice makes it all the more interesting.
Except they don't know that, though. But we
have none of them. Exactly. We know that. Right?
Yeah. Okay, so I haven't read this issue, but I have a slightly small, probably not thought out rant about this, or about Civil War in general,
mm-hmm.
but Captain Marvel. Number 9, I mean, when we get to that point, and I guess we could do that next.
I was about to say, we can do that next, and there's a couple of, crossover titles out this week. You know, whatever we were able to read, we can touch on.
But I could probably bring it up now, because it kind of fits, even though I haven't read this issue yet, because, and it's not something that I haven't said before, because I know I've tweeted about this, even if anybody has seen it, but I'm not crazy about a couple of things. Like, Ulysses is pretty much like, you remember when we read Original Sin? And then, you know, the whole thing exploded and everybody got their secrets out and the secrets were just like all over the place. And Ulysses is pretty much the same thing as that as the Watcher's Eye in this case. Because it's like every time you turn around, somebody else has got, you know, somebody else has caught wind of a vision that he's did. I'm like, he's having a lot of visions. And the way he has those visions, and especially with the people around him, I'm like, you would think. Like, that would either start driving him crazy if he's having that many visions. Not saying it's like a loads, but it's like, wow, that's kind of mm-hmm. convenient that he's had visions here and there and that. And I don't think he's going to last through the end of Civil War.
Well,
or at least he shouldn't.
Did he touch on that?
Yeah, they did touch on that a little bit.
Okay, so interesting. But
part of me is starting to wonder if there's someone pulling Ulysses strings that we haven't learned about.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and there was that. And the other part of that is Carol's position in this whole thing, which sounds like, if this was any other, like, even if this was the original Civil War, this seems like something that would be Tony's position for her to take. Like, yes, she's a soldier, and she recognizes, like, there's risks and getting ahead of stuff is whatever, but most of that stuff we have seen Tony try to do, especially with the Illuminati, now that you, since you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm not crazy about the way they have her positioned here, because, like, that doesn't seem much like her in the stream of things.
It's sort of post-traumatic, you know? They sort of playing it off as, you know, she's been through all these battles, and mm-hmm. something bad has happened to her. To someone very close to her. But what's funny is that it's also someone very close to Tony Stark. But because of the way Tony Stark has kind of acted, like you said, in character up until now, it kind of shows that maybe he's evolving or changing his mind about certain things.
I don't believe that at all. Which brings me to my next point: the way that Rhodey's death been happening. Spoiler alert: if you haven't heard about this already, but yeah, Rhodey's dead. He's still dead, and he probably's not come back. He's been Bill Foster. Anyway,
oh no, that's because he's gotten whatchamacallit? He's gotten replaced.
Well, so. Yeah, that's a whole other issue that I'm. Yeah. Yeah. But the way that's been handled also is like everybody. And granted, Carol would be the closest one to him outside of Tony, so she would kind of know kind of how he's felt. But everybody, well, not everybody, but the couple of people that's taking this out is like, well, he wouldn't be this way, and he would just, and he would want this way, and it's like, and it seems like it's been taken a little farther than one would believe that we actually know he would. You know, now granted, Rhodey's been in various states of being fleshed out, but I don't know. I think some of that has been kind of taken a little too far. And that's probably just me, because I'm feeling some kind of way about it in the first place. But I'm like, yeah, all these people just like know, you know, what is death supposed to mean, and twisting it and knowing what he would have wanted and all this kind of good mess. I'm like, I don't know if any of that is true. And the whole funeral thing, which actually was played out quite nicely in Sam Wilson, but should have been done in Iron Man, since that was his supposed best friend. That kind of still kind of bothers me. But anyway, like I said, rant over.
All right. All right.
I will say, I think some of the way that Carol comes across badly is that Bendis hasn't given her enough equal screen time like he has Tony Stark in the series. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot more of Tony and his thoughts as he's investigated how Ulysses' powers work. And we haven't seen that much of Carol except to, like in this issue, to talk to She-Hulk as she comes out of her coma. And then we see Carol again, but then when we see her again, it's with all the other heroes as Tony Stark is speaking to them. And then at the end, when the big confrontation comes across, that's like the only times we see her. And then I'm trying to think back through the other three issues, through like the confrontation with Banner. It's kind of like it was Tony and Carol speaking to him, speaking to Banner. So right. Not that much equal representation going on.
Right, I
kind of wondered if he even knows how to write her, because there has been a couple of times in his
he has not write right history. People.
Exactly, and I was just about to say that, because there's been a couple of people I could think about he hasn't written. I don't think he's written well.
I was going to say that I think the current Captain Marvel issue that's out this week really does a lot more to flesh out what Carol is thinking about, how she's approaching this entire process, mm-hmm. because she has to explain herself. I guess we can touch on it now, Roddy, since we were talking about it just prior. Captain Marvel number 9, is it, that's out this week? I didn't pick up the physical copy, but I did read this book.
I'm sorry, skimmed 7.
Seven.
Miss Marvel number 9.
Right. So I didn't, you know, I mostly skimmed this book, but read a few pages here and there. And the gist of it is, and you can fill in, obviously, Roddy, because I know you read it. The gist of it is Carol has to explain herself to the World Council. Right. It's the the floating hologram heads from Captain America Winter Soldier.
Pretty much.
So, you know, ultimately, that is her forum to present her case for, you know, kind of acting the way she's acting. Now you can, you know, now I leave it to you to kind of fill in some of the blanks.
Okay. So the way she's talking to the council, the way she's talking to Ulysses during the course of this, because after she meets with the council, or I guess during the course of as they have it laid out, totally sounds like her, you know. And this is where part of the, except for the part where she does kind of touch on, well, one, she touches on her feelings about Rhodey, which is the first time we've seen that, you know, since the relationship has been made public. And that was a cool part, because we never got to see it, you know, during the course of it. But this also goes back to what I was saying about, you know, talking about how Rhodey would feel about this, you know, about the situation having and his part in it. And this kind of actually does play a little closer to what it seemed like he was. She touches on the fact it was like, yeah, he probably would have made the same decision, you know, even if things were different. And that probably would have been the case, you know. So, like I said, she knows him well enough to say all of that. But then there was a part where it was like, basically saying, like, probably Rhodey would have wanted to have this happen. It's not as far as his death, but as far as the preemptive catching of criminals type stuff. And I don't think that's actually true. I'm almost fairly certain that that's not true. Especially as we know, it seems like this is pretty much straight up profiling. Like,
right.
It's basically a free crown from Minority Report.
Exactly.
And that went well.
Right. That went really well.
Yeah. Amazing. I don't really think that he would actually be behind that. So that, and this, which is why I'm saying, it's like, I don't think Carol Spitz has been. I don't think she would really say that. But that's like, this is my personal opinion, and you know, the writing of the character is in the hands of the writer. So, right.
So,
but
I wanted to touch on two things related. So, just circling back to Civil War number 4, Matt Wang 97 tweets at us asking, so what was up with She-Hulk's appearance in Civil War 2 number 4? What he's referring to is what appears to be, spoiler alert, a change in coloration, a change in pigmentation of the She-Hulk's skin. So we'll see where that leads. And the second thing I wanted to touch upon is that Captain Marvel's thinking on her position and her feelings on this position are also expanded upon in Ms. Marvel number 9.
A little bit, yes.
Because of how she, you know, she's tasked in this issue with dealing with, you know, she's kind of delegated to Kamala Khan certain responsibilities in Jersey City that deal with the, let's say, the investigation of some of Ulysses's visions.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, spoiler alert, it turns out that the person behind the vision that they're trying to prevent is one of Kamala's classmates, and things go deeper down the rabbit hole from there. Ultimately, though, there are a few interactions between Kamala and Ms. Marvel where Kamala is left questioning her choice and questioning her mentor's position on this entire thing because of what because I guess some of the extreme actions that some of the cadets, some of the people that she's been tasked with leading are taking in trying to prevent some of these actions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was the one interaction I thought was telling between Carol and Kamala in this issue, and I thought that really said a lot about about her thinking. If I'm not mistaken, didn't she call her something
Junior.
In there? Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. One, obviously she's taking on the superior role, the senior role, and two, it's, you know, she basically gives her the power to get these cadets to obey as much of the law as possible without crossing too many lines.
Right.
And it's left her with, I guess, you know, obviously with the, you know, with doubts as to what it is they're doing with this information at this point.
Which brings me to this part about that. Because, okay, so that interaction between Carol and Kamala just seemed like Carol was like, you know what, you handle this, you go do what you gotta do, you know, even though Carol should kind of know, like, hey, this is still a teenage girl, regardless of whether she has teenage power, she's still trying to learn the game herself. So to give her that kind of power and just say, hey, go do, you know, go handle it, you go be a leader, when she hasn't had, which I guess this would be that, but she hasn't had much guidance in the way on how to do that. And that whole conversation was like, hey, I, you know what you're doing, go for it and do whatever. Just, there was really nothing to it. Just like Carol was just kind of just throwing her off.
Do you think that's G. Willow Wilson, or do you think that's Bendis's overall narrative kind of putting her in that position?
Yeah, I'm thinking that might have been Bendis. I can't say for certain, because I mean, it's clear that G. Willow Wilson has a great care for this character, and even in this issue that shows.
Right.
But that part just seems like that doesn't seem right, especially the one or two other times that we have seen Carol in this book. Like, granted, situations were different.
Right.
But there were still some stakes, you know, on it, so that was like, this just seems a little different from how Carol would, you know, react.
Normally interact with her. I understand.
So, and like I said, that's the whole kind of, and that's what started bringing me to the whole part about, you know, Carol's position in Civil War II and, mm-hmm. and the other things that are surrounding it.
Right. I would just leave off with, if you are interested in understanding the pros and cons, really both sides of this particular Civil War II, I suggest you read this book, because Wilson does do an excellent job of outlining both sides of the argument.
And I will also add to that by saying you will also start, because you have seen in this issue and last issue some flashbacks that will touch up upon, sounds like, where Kamala is going next in her yeah. journey, probably as a superhero, as a person.
Yeah.
And that is some good insight into to history of her and her family.
Right. Her actual family origin.
Exactly. So, and that'll be good. And this
issue, it's deep stuff. It's deep stuff.
Exactly. So it is worth a good. And that's what I was saying. I think I tweeted about. I was like, I haven't said this part, but Miss Marvel has always been a book that always manages to make you feel something one way or another. And it's a beautiful thing. That's why this book has been consistently good. And this was no different, especially with what happens at the end.
Yeah.
Which we won't say.
But, yeah, no. We won't leave. Yeah, we won't.
I would say something profound happens. Yeah, profound kind of happens to one of
Right, and we're left with the cliffhanger. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, one of the sad people.
Exactly. So it's a pretty effective cliffhanger. This is, in fact, despite our misgivings about Carol Danvers' characterization, this is in fact one of my candidates for Click of the Week this week.
As mine also.
All right. What else do we have for the Civil War II tie-ins? Anybody?
Yeah, that was it. That's as far as the order.
Yeah, check the spreadsheet out. All right, I'm back on the screen. Let's see. The majority of stuff I read is from DC this week, so I think the three Marvel books I read didn't tie into Civil War besides Civil War 2, number 4. So.
Right. I was about to say Totally Awesome Hulk was this last week? Or is it this week? It was this week.
I think it was this week.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, Totally Awesome Hulk was out this week. Yeah, I did not read it.
I totally forgot that book came out this week.
Totally Awesome Hulk number 9.
I knew it was a book coming out. I kept listening, every month there's a week that, four of my favorite Marvel books all come out the same week.
Yeah. Right.
And I knew that I kept forgetting one. It was Totally Awesome Hulk, because it's Totally Awesome Hulk, Ms. Marvel, Mighty Thor, now I'm Panther. I guess Black Panther's joined that group now. Was it 3? Maybe it's 3 that come out. So, yeah, Ms. Marvel.
You mentioned 3 on Twitter, so.
You remember the 3?
You said them already.
Yeah, okay.
Thor.
Even New Avengers is a Civil War II crossover this week, but they're tangential.
Uncanny Avengers is jumping into that list as well, because I'm digging that series now.
Okay.
I didn't read it. Don't spoil it. I know happens.
I can talk about it real quick as soon as I bring up the
file. I got the Starenko alternate variant cover.
I don't see that as an option here, so no Starenko for you.
Oh, it's all right. I just held it up to the screen.
I will say, talking about covers, that New Avengers this week and last week, I think it looks like they are connecting covers.
They are. I noticed that this week as well. Hold that cover up again.
Which one? This one?
Yeah.
This is the Uncanny Avengers.
Okay. I just wanted to get it on the screen.
That's pretty cool.
And here's the regular cover. Boom. There we go.
We still see you, Tim.
No, he's...
Not anymore. Ha ha ha. So this is the... What do you call it? The second to last part of this arc with... Hank Pym, Ultron, Penultimate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Avengers, as you see, are taking on Ultron. The Uncanny Avengers calling some extra help from Vision, and of course, the Wasp has joined in on the battle. There's a lot of truth to what Ultron has been saying, like how the Avengers have treated Hank Pym over the years, and Ultron and Pym have been off in space, but the Avengers haven't tried looking for him at all, this all just recently happened to Hank, and Charles Xavier has been dead for 4 years now, and he's the whole reason this whole Uncanny Avengers Unity Squad has been formed in the first place. So do they really care about Hank at all? Especially what Agent 70 is saving.
Pretty much.
There's a quick appearance from Captain Marvel in space, because Vision sends out a sort of a SOS to all Avengers teams, and Project Icarus is set into motion, which we see what the outcome of that is at the final page or final panel of the book. I won't spoil it here.
Right.
But again, it involves another guest star to the series, another Avenger. That's about it. What I love about the series, just for one, I enjoyed the Rage of Ultron sort of graphic novel that Remender did with, I forget some of the artists now.
I know who you're talking
Jerome
about.
Jerome Mopena.
Yes.
And actually, the artist on this series, Pepe Larez, also helped out on the art in it. And so that's, yeah, I enjoyed that graphic novel, and I enjoyed Pepe Larez's art. And Jerry Duggan has been killing it, especially this arc. I don't know what it is about this arc, but it's just grabbed my attention so much, and it's just been so much fun. And, oh yeah, something, I can't tell what happens to Quicksilver here, but it looks like he gets injured. Can't tell exactly how from the art and the special effects lettering, so have to see what the outcome of that is. But yeah, next issue is supposed to be the finale, so looking forward to that.
Cool. Looking forward to reading it. All right. How about we stick to Marvel? Who else read Mighty Thor number 9?
I did, because it's on my list of books, the three or four books that come out every month on the same week that I love.
So I know Tim is a huge fan of Russell Dauterman's art. He's got art duties on this issue, and I have to give him a lot of credit. There's a couple of great scenes in this with the newly revamped Silver Samurai that just, you know, there was a lot of great action in this.
I'm wondering, like, why no one else has used a Silver Samurai like this, or maybe it took Jason Aaron's writing to show what a badass character this guy is.
Right. Well, I think if it's the next version of the Silver Samurai. I think the previous version, who we're all sort of familiar with, had a much more actual samurai looking armor. But this version, you know, is kind of updated for, you know, he kind of talks like a millennial, which is kind of annoying. But you guys read that, right? Well, you read that, right, Tim? Like, you kind of noticed how he was speaking, like his speech pattern.
I enjoyed the writing and everyone's speech pattern in this
yeah,
book.
No, in terms of this Silver Samurai, I was comparing it with, you know, what I would hear from the older one, obviously, because this is a younger character. So
he's got the, you know, quick wit.
Exactly.
He calls Jane Foster Thor a couple of funny pun insult names.
Exactly. So he's definitely played off as a younger person who's much more in tune with, you know, the times today. So I think that's what this character really needed, was kind of a kick in the butt, you know, like a real, you know, this is a nice little stage for this version, the second version 2 or 3 of the Silver Samurai, especially putting him up against the Thor.
Yeah. Like, he quickly points out how she's new to this, and, you know, I'm, you know, Silver Samurai, like, I'm basically Iron Man that knows karate or kung fu and has
karate
and has a badass sword, is one way he puts it.
Yep.
Matt Wilson's coloring in this series, probably my favorite colorist in comics right now, especially on this book. Like, just look at the cover, there's some the different color tones of the purple, and then how it weaves in with the black of the Midas girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of great panels up front where there's a cool kind of a fade out effect for Loki that's phenomenal, you know, especially on the printed page. I don't know if you've seen it on the printed page yet, but it looks really good. Just very quickly in terms of the story, some business rivals of Dario Agger, aka the Minotaur, have abducted him and are trying to do a little bit of corporate takeover stuff. And, Thor finds herself in the unenviable task of trying to save him.
And, of course, that goes as well as you'd think it would.
Exactly. Roz Solomon is back in this, you know, back in the Thor book. And there's also another, I think I missed the last issue, or maybe two, of Mighty Thor, because I could not remember for the life of me why there are S.H.I.E.L.D. agents looking for Jane Foster.
Are they onto her?
Or something like that. So there are a couple of storylines that Jason Aaron is weaving through this book. As always, you know, this is probably one of the best runs on Thor, you know, in a long time. It's getting up there. It's going to be like this generation Simonson probably. So it's pretty good. That's high praise.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty, how about Roddy, what's your list? What's your read?
Let us go to Mockingbird number 5.
Alrighty.
This is another one of those books that's continuously that has been continuously good, and Ta-Nehisi Coates likes it.
what did you tweet that?
No, it's actually in the letters page of the Black Panther.
Okay.
He basically says, hey, check these books. He was telling somebody, hey, check this Vision and one other book out, because, you know, they pretty much show the range of what books can go.
Oh, okay.
So, but yes, yeah, so Mocking Bird number 5, this issue wraps up back around to after the first issue. As a matter of fact, for those who are reading this, so anybody who's reading this, you can read this kind of out of order, especially the middle three or four books. And she even goes back and says that at the beginning of this book, because you can kind of get certain things out of reading them in a certain order, because pretty much a lot of stuff that gets talked about in the first issue kind of gets hinted at and talked about in the subsequent issues therefore. This one, like I said, wraps back around to the first one in that, so she has this virus in her that apparently has super powers, which is why she's been able to do some of the things that she's been
out of character.
Mm-hmm. And she's gone back to this Shield medical base that is so she can get some answers. Turns out Shield has been, and Shield base has been kind of having her come back on regular visits and getting blood samples and this and the other testing. And what they've been doing was taking her blood samples and using them to experiment with the dead. Yes, and as things tended to go with some things like that, didn't go well. So we have Bobby in a spot with a whole bunch of zombies, and it comes to find out that she's not the only ones there, but she's, you know, saving people and using her powers, or using the powers of the virus guys, because apparently the virus that she has in her reacts to the reanimated corpses that are abound, so she can kind of keep them at bay.
They're and actually drawn to her. And mm-hmm. that's the
yeah. Excuse me. Drawn to her. Yes.
Right, they're actually drawn to her, and
but she can also keep them at bay. Yeah.
Right, because of the shiny powers that she's got. it's just the
power. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it. Right. Exactly. She kind of portrays that a number of ways, but ultimately, what we find in this issue is that she's really found a way to, I guess, establish that she is far more than just an okay costume with two battle staves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she really does establish in this series that, you know, she is a capable secret agent. She is, you know, maybe not Peter Parker level genius, but she is smart. She is capable.
Right, and touches back on her scientist roots.
Exactly. So it's a it's a very interesting study of her character and kind of establishing her new status quo in the new Marvel universe. My quick question to you is: I think I'm maybe an issue or half an issue behind on this. Did we completely do the full circle on issue one with this issue?
This pretty much, it seems to, as a matter of fact, I think it even says in the beginning, that this kind of takes place after the events of the first issue. So yes.
Gotcha. So we have made the full circle. So this is the final issue of the opening arc.
Because there's only one or more issue left, I believe, because I think it's only a six issue.
Oh, it's only six issues?
Yeah, right. It's only a limited series.
Oh, okay. All right, so maybe there is one more issue to this arc.
Yeah, there is one more issue, definitely, because it even says so in the back. But, yeah, I thought, because it kind of gave me hope as I was reading the letter page, like, wait, are they making this ongoing? No, it's not. So.
You hit on exactly what I was going to ask, because it felt like when I wrapped up reading this that it was leading into an ongoing.
Right.
And I had not yet read any announcements that it was an ongoing. So
right.
that's why you know that was the reason for the line of questions, which was, you know, have we gotten to the point where we have described everything that was teased in that first issue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is the case, but yeah, it was just kind of starting to bring it home now. So.
Gotcha. So, in any event, this was a very enjoyable issue. It's a great study of the character, and it really does establish her as a formidable character in the new Marvel Universe.
And Howard the Duck and Miles Morales show up.
Yeah, for with great effect, great comedic effect. Let's put it that way. All right. Black Panther number 4. Both of y'all read it?
Sure. Yeah. There we go.
Tim?
I did not.
Oh, okay. So we will not spoil too much. Let's put it this way: war is afoot.
That's saying, yeah.
That's pretty. That's pretty much what's going on right now.
Yeah, the heat has been rising, and not even the temperature has been rising in Wakanda because of the different things that's been going on in the areas in and around Wakanda, and it is coming to a slow boil. In fact, I guess we can pretty safely say that the issue that boil has popped.
Yeah. I mean, it's close. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, what this opening story arc has established is that there are multiple subgroups in Wakanda. Mm-hmm. It's not just Wakandans as a singular, but there are many subgroups that are constantly vying for control and power within the power structure of Wakanda underneath the rule of the king. And what we find here is that T'Challa is, the story that Coates is telling is that T'Challa, as a full-time superhero, hasn't always been in touch with the needs of his people. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, and Queen Ramonda reminds him of that.
Exactly. Backstory. I was just going to say that the Queen Mother takes it upon herself to kind of enlighten T'Challa on this point where, and I thought it was funny that I read this in the aftermath of President Obama's speech last night, and it brought a smile to my face because without spoiling it, and Tim, when you read it, you'll know what I mean. Without spoiling it, I kind of got what the Queen Mother was talking about. Especially in the aftermath of his speech. This is being recorded and broadcast on Thursday, July 28th, so I'm speaking of President Obama's speech in front of the Democratic National Convention. So, but, all that being said, just to wrap this up, unless Roddy has some more to add, war is afoot, and it looks like T'Challa is looking to move against some of the forces that are kind of fueling a mini-revolution in Wakanda. Mm.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add to that is, well, one, I've said this before and I'll say it again, is like it hurts my heart to see Wakanda in this shape, but at the same time, this has been a logical progression of and a very interesting story at that, because especially given all of the events that led to this point indirectly, or directly and indirectly, with all of the invasions, because he even touches on that in this book, it was like, yeah, with Doom, and then Namor, and then the Black Order, and all of this kind of left to a state, Wakanda, in a state of, having some internal issues.
Kind of despair, Yeah.
And people are kind of, not necessarily taking advantage of that, but kind of
pushing back against the power structure.
Exactly. And even in that, we also see, as tends to happen in real life, when there's a country in flux, we see outside forces that try to come in and take advantage of that for their own goods. And we actually see that here by a familiar enough
Marvel character, Marvel villain.
It's Marvel character, because it's not one specific to Black Panther, but to another well-known figure, which we won't spoil.
Right, we will not spoil. But he does make an appearance as kind of the figure in the background who's leading this surge of revolution.
Part of it, yeah.
Exactly. I would just add that I think this is probably, since the first issue, this is probably one of the stronger issues of Coates' first run, first four issues. I like this issue. This is actually a candidate for Click of the Week for me, because I thought that this was very tightly plotted. I thought that there was a lot happening in this. I thought that there was plenty of story to be told and a great setup for the next issue. So I thought this is of the first four issues. I think after the first issue, this has been the most effective issue.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of setup, there is also a mention of a couple of characters that that get brought up in the course of the story, which the October solicits also kind of
give it away.
That there's a crew that looks like there is going to be coming to this book, and I cannot wait. Apparently, if you did not read the solicits, I can't see why you would.
Right.
But you would still see a couple of people that have been a part of T'Challa's life in here, which it seemed, like I said, without that solicit knowledge, it seemed kind of weird that they would bring those people up.
Right.
But the fact that they do was still good either way. And the person that does bring it up was like, well, wait a minute, why did that even happen? But like I said, we will see in the coming months, apparently, they will become a factor and a couple other people.
Alrighty. All right. Do we want to start doing rapid fire?
We can.
There's so many books out this weekend. We do want to get to San Diego news.
Anyone read any DC books? Because we haven't talked about any of those.
I read Future Quest.
I didn't get to any.
Yeah, so that's the only one I got. I can do that one real quick.
Okay.
So basically, this issue takes place before issue one, because we get a little backstory, or at the very least, we have, on one side, we have Birdman and Agent Samedi. I can't remember her name. I have it in here.
Not me.
What?
I almost thought you said Agent 70.
Oh, no. I can't remember the agent's name, but the agent that is working with Birdman, as they find out there first. I keep calling them incursions because that's what they seem like they are, but they're distortions, whatever. Before the events of issue one, leading up to when they were called by Quentin Quest for issue one. And then we have another side story that is talking about basically some backstory on how the Herculoids kind of came to be, in a sense. Like, we get backstory on Xandar and Tara, like, before they went to the planet they're on right now. And I don't know if that is something that was actually a thing or if they're just, like, fleshing out a new backstory for them, but it was an interesting read. It was enjoyable. I'm liking this book, the way they're trying to weave at least this, that part of the Hanna-Barbera verse together into something.
I need to catch up. I read issue one, and I haven't read any since then. This was issue three?
Three. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I still got time.
Yeah.
Let me find a cover for a book I actually did read from DC. Let's see, where is it? Well, here's one, not one I was looking for, but I did read this issue, and that's Titans number one.
Nice.
I was wondering, it was such a long couple of weeks between the Rebirth issue of Titans and then this issue one. Usually it's like a week break, and then they jump straight into number one. But here, had a couple
weeks. Wait a minute, before you go on, Tim, you're kind of breaking up.
You're underwater.
Am I underwater again?
Yeah.
How did I fix that last time?
Check your connection.
You just basically checked your settings. You just clicked on the settings again, probably.
Right. Hold on, let me do that right now.
I was about to say, in the meantime, at Matt Wang 97 tweeted at us that he was under the impression that Mockingbird has become an ongoing, or at least is moving on past the sixth issue, and I did a quick search, and it is in fact going to issue 7, and I'm double-checking on issue 8. So it is going beyond what we initially said earlier, so thanks to Matt Wang, at Matt Wang 97. You get a no prize.
Was that in the solicits? Well, I guess
yes, it's in the September and October solicits. It's up to number 8 in the October solicit.
But yes. Still no confirmation on ongoing?
Correct. These are two Civil War II tie-in issues, so I don't know how much longer the book will go, but at least it is going past this initial arc that would have been described in that first issue.
Interesting that they're having to tie in the Civil War.
Hmm.
Am I still in the water, by the way?
No, you're good.
Okay. All right, Titans number one. It's the team helping Wally sort of investigate how, they're missing years and how Wally was lost and how their memories were taken from them of working together as a team. And I guess to get the reintroduction of an old villain that I assume is familiar to the group, but not familiar to me because I think I've heard of the villain before, but I didn't know that they were a Titans foe or not. I of course...
You want me to hit the spoiler bell?
Sure.
Spoiler bell, because I'm kind of curious to hear who it is.
Some magician called Abracadabra?
Yeah, you got me with that one. I don't know.
Hopefully that's his name. Hopefully I got it right.
That sounds like a deep threat.
But I've enjoyed Brett Booth's art, of course. There's a lot of... the writing from... Who was the writer on this? Dan Abnett. The writing needs to get a little better. I see what he's going for. The team dynamic and how they, they're young. They joke with one another and whatnot, but it didn't feel natural to me.
Okay.
Maybe as the book goes along and the different, because I don't know, I'm not familiar with the different history and relationships between all the characters. I know from the Young Justice cartoon that Wally and Dick are best friends, but there's some stuff with, I think, Garth and Diana, or not Diana. Donna Troy, I think, are the two. They just sort of have a back and forth thing going. That didn't, like I said, everything didn't feel natural yet to me, but maybe as the series progresses, that will change.
Okay.
And let me look for the cover that I'm actually looking for. Oh, there it is. So this is one of my DC Rebirth books I was looking forward to the most, and that is Nightwing number one from cool. Tim Seeley and Javier Fernandez. And I think the story arc is called Better Than Batman. So if you recall from the crossover Robin War, ended up with Nightwing, or Dick Grayson at the time, being in servitude of what was formerly the Court of Owls, which is now the Parliament of Owls, because they had taken control of Damian, and Dick basically offered himself up for them to let Damian go. And so he's basically gone undercover inside the group to take them down from the inside. So even though he's got his secret identity as Dick Grayson and Nightwing back and his persona of Nightwing, he's still doing the
undercover
spy thing. And as you see from the cover, the issue also kind of guest stars Batman and Batgirl and Robin, a.k.a. Damian, all make appearances. At one point, let's see, I think the issue begins with him doing a mission for the Court of Owls, basically like sending a message to some important dignitaries or whatever. And he goes to the Batcave afterwards, and he's Dick's looking to Batman for reassurance that he's doing the right thing of doing this undercover job and whatnot. And Batman basically tells him, you know, hey, look, you don't have to come to me for approval. You want to be your own man. You've proven you can do things on your own. So just, you know, come to me when the job's done or whatever, or if you need help. Then he goes to see Barbara Gordon, a.k.a. Batgirl, before he goes off on this mission where he'll be gone again, because they just learned that he wasn't really dead after all, after whatever that Forever Evil. I think that was called. It's a funny moment because I guess he sends the note to Barbara, like, you know, hey, they want to meet. They need to meet. And he takes it as a date, so he shows up in street clothes. She shows up in the Batgirl costume because, you know, why would you send a message, you know, hey, let's meet up on the top of this bridge, the literal top of the bridge, if we're not going to be in our superhero costumes? And then something comes up where they have to go, you know, off and fight crime together in their superhero costumes. But the Parliament of Owls isn't pleased with Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Nightwing, because he's doing these jobs for them, but he's, I guess, not doing it in the ways that they would like him to do it. So they send this, it's not Talon, and it's not Falcon. It's some other code name, Raptor, I think his name is. They send this guy named Raptor off to work with him, sort of like as a mentor, to get him in line and get him on the company, you know, get him on the company line, and that's where the series or the issue ends. So that's Nightwing.
Right. Cool.
So I'm gonna be looking forward to this every week or every 2 weeks. I think it's a double shipping book. I'm not entirely sure.
I was about to ask, because I know all of the Rebirth issues come. I think even Dirt mentioned this, but I don't know why I'm bringing this up now. But comes like 2 weeks. The first issue comes after 2 weeks after the Rebirth issue. But what I was gonna ask about this one was something happened in the Rebirth. Earth issue with the Parliament of Owls, because didn't they have somebody kind of come in and disrupt them? Is that the same? Does that person show up in this book?
I don't remember what happened to them in the Rebirth issue.
Yeah, because there was somebody who from the Parliament of Owls who was kind of talking in front of the crew, and then somebody think took him out or something. And I don't know if it was that Raptor person you're talking about or whatever, but I have to read this one to get a chance.
Yeah, I have to look that up because that's not ringing a bell right now.
Yeah.
Other quick DC books. Let me pull down my list here. Red Hood and the Outlaws Rebirth number one was a surprisingly good book.
Okay.
And I'm just going to do
like a strange pairing.
I'm not going to do covers because I don't have enough time now. But yeah, it was basically like a origin of or New 52 / DC Rebirth origin of Jason Todd retelling his origin of meeting Batman and working with him and. Sort of, this series is set up, Red Hood is going undercover, or again, he's doing like a Nightwing. It's funny contrast reading these two books back to back, like I did. You know, Nightwing gets the blessing of going undercover to take down a, you know, super villain organization.
Right.
Jason Todd basically is doing the same thing, where he's going to go undercover into the DC, or the Gotham mob boss, yeah, underworld, to take them down from the inside, but Batman isn't crazy about him doing it, because he... You know, Jason Todd, a.k.a. Red Hood, is always teetering on the line of, you know, is he villain? Could he fall into being a villain at any notice. You know, anything could tip the scales. And part of that is he tries to assassinate the mayor, I think. But he uses, like, non-lethal bullets or something or another. Actually, the mayor has some, like, virus inside of him or whatever and doesn't know it. But Red Hood knows it. So he shoots him with something to cure him, but... And during this, he's like fighting with Batman, and I guess Batman finds out after the fact that it was all like a ruse. But like I was saying, he doesn't give his blessing, so of course
we know who the favorite son is.
Yeah, Red Hood's gonna do it anyway, and so it's a Rebirth issue, so it sets up what's gonna take place in the ongoing whenever it launches.
So I saw like the couple of preview pages of both this and Nightwing, and it's funny that you said reading them both, they kind of were similar. Because the first couple of pages of each kind of read similar in the way that they were being told, because they were basically the character... Well, actually, Nightwing wasn't. But I kind of had the same thought, basically, because it kind of felt like, you know, the character was in the beginning was kind of having a flashback and talking about, you know, dealing with Batman. And I think it was either Nightwing or one other issue, or it might have been Rebirth, I can't remember which one it was, that kind of had a similar feel that to that. Right. So it's kind of interesting that you did that, that you said that.
Flash number 3 got good. The Speed Force storm hit at the end of the last issue, so now it's a city full of speedsters. Flash and his new partner, Augustus Hart, are trying to take down the bad ones, and then they learn that Star Labs is trying to train the ones that want to learn to control these new powers, because not everyone, of course, is thrilled that they have Speed Force powers. Some are scared. Some are scared to leave their homes. And we're introduced to a new person over the Speed Force unit of Star Labs, a new doctor who could be a potential love interest for Barry Allen. There's a little flirting taking place. Wonder Woman number 3 I wasn't too crazy with, because I'm not sure what's going on with Cheetah and whatever new god has possessed her. I don't know, it was weird. I like the year 1 story going on in the even number issues so far.
Which is weird, because I thought you were the other way around about it.
Yeah, I like the first issue, but the... Yeah, so far I think I'll be enjoying the no, it was the year 1 issue I liked. The number 2 I think was one I really liked. Action Comics 960, the art from Tyler Kirkham is really bad in this, the second one he's done. It looks like he's doing it quickly, which leaves it a lot messier than his work has looked in the past. They're still fighting Doomsday. Small little nitpick about Wonder Woman guest stars here, and she's like helping, you know, fight Doomsday, and she's like asking Superman questions about this monster like she's never fought him before in the New 52 in this Superman Wonder Woman book that Charles Soule wrote. They both, the Superman that's dead now and that she was dating, they both fought Doomsday. There's a whole like Doomsday, him being possessed by the Doomsday virus or whatever.
Yeah, you remember that. We all read that.
Yeah.
It was like in the midst of the New 52, right?
But I know it's for new readers, so that's probably the reason they did it. Detective Comics 937, another series I've been enjoying in Rebirth. We get the long, drawn-out story of why Kate Kane's father, the military guy, has formed his military unit of Batman, and how long this project's been going on and how deep it goes. Now that I think about it more, this is a Click of the Week candidate.
Nice.
And, yeah, that's my books for... Oh, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 1. I enjoyed it a lot more than I did the Rebirth issue of it. I think a lot of it has to do with Rafa Sandoval's art on it. It's very, very good. Spoiler alert, but the Green Lantern Corps make it to our universe at the end of the issue. You know, they were lost on their own miniseries, I think.
Yeah. Just
trying to get back home. They finally do. And Batgirl number 1, I don't believe I finished that issue. I think there's a couple more pages I have to read of it. But it's chronicling her trek across Asia or China. I forget exactly where she's going.
But she came from Kung Fu?
Oh, no.
Basically, she's backpacking across... she's Asia. Doing a backpacking trip across Asia. Art from Rafael Albuquerque. Or Albuquerque.
I think it's Albuquerque, but either way.
Yeah, it's Albuquerque. Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. All right, so rapid fire time. Let's rapid fire through this because we need time to talk about San Diego.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I don't have very many books left. All New, All Different Avengers wraps up the Negative Zone arc is kind of satisfying, actually. I recommend taking a look at it.
What book was that?
All New, All Different Avengers number 12.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I like how they switched off the Mega Bands and how
exactly.
They worked, you know, the teamwork.
It was strangely satisfying having, you know, like the way Wade wrapped up that story. Yeah. Captain America Steve Rogers number 3 dives deeper into Hydra Cap, and there's some very disturbing images in this. International Iron Man number 5. There is something kind of dramatic that happens in this issue. It's kind of drawn out. We are left on a cliffhanger. We may find out more about Iron Man's heritage very soon. It is not the swerve we thought it might be last week from the pages of, spoiler alert, Black Widow, but obviously there's room for more swerves later on. And that covers the rest of the books that I had this week.
Okay.
Well, so you said Black Widow is or isn't the mother?
No spoilers! No. All right.
Which, by the way, yeah, I will go ahead and say this. I really hope Riri Williams doesn't end up being some kind of blood relation to Tony. That would be really pissy. Anyway, so for my next, I guess that's because I think everything else has been covered except for... or Spider-Gwen number 10. Gwen still doesn't have her powers, and as of this issue, she may or may not have them again. We don't know. Frank Castle sends Kraven the Hunter after her, after finding out she was at her dad's house. But it wasn't because they were trying to capture her. It was trying to get a picture of her to expose her, because Frank knows that she's Spider-Gwen. And there was a big to-do around that. There was a couple of Jungle Book references, and another reference that was actually pretty cool. And that was that. And then I think to wrap me up would be ROM number one, I guess. I will
go. Don't spoil too much. That. I'm only halfway through.
Nah, I won't. It was a weirdly interesting read at the end. The rest of it was like, now granted, my history with ROM is I remember it, but I wasn't
You're not a fan like me. I gotcha.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that. But I did read some of it when I was younger, so.
Sure.
So some of it was a little different from what I remembered, and apparently, as you told me earlier, Agent 70, that the free comic book, the issue, was also put into this, so that was some good information I needed. And let's just say the end of it kind of would get a little bit more on that shared universe that they're trying to
establish
together in this. Yes, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. Cool. All right, so I guess it's clicks of the week time, huh?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a lot this week.
I want to name like three books clicks of my week.
You know what? You know what? We'll allow it this time. This one time.
You think so? I whittled it down to one, guys.
I could do one.
Well, what? Let's put it this way.
You want to do multiples this week? Come on.
Well, I mean, we can. But if you got one, that's cool. But I'm saying, I'm giving this the caveat here. One, Tim's been gone for a couple of weeks.
Right.
Even though he's given his picks. And it was a tough week this week. So if you got more than one, hey, run it.
I'll pick one winner, but I want to give, you know, honorable mentions.
Shout out. Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
So Uncanny Avengers number 11, Mighty Thor number 9.
Those are the shout outs?
Those are the shout outs. And I have two more that I'm trying to pick which one is going to be the actual click of the week. Wow.
I know.
Okay, so yeah. So Nightwing number 1, the last honorary. And yeah, Detective Comics 937.
Click wow.
Okay. Well, here's Dirt's right here. Grim Fairy Tales Swimsuit Edition 2016.
Yeah.
Got undisputed, so.
Good job, Dirt. Good job. All right. I think my I'm torn between two books. My two books are Black Panther number 4 and Ms. Marvel number 9. Mm-hmm. I was very enthusiastic about this month's issue of Black Panther because I feel like as I said earlier, I believe it's the strongest of the strongest of the first four issues after issue number 1. So it was a nice kind of bounce back to like, you know, what felt like an epic story that was moving forward. And my reasons that Ms. Marvel number 9 are up there, I also went into detail earlier, and I think what puts Ms. Marvel number 9 over the top is that it did a number of things and still advanced its own story. It did, in fact, lay out, you know, from a very personal view, what the sides of Civil War II are all about. And it also did, in fact, advance some of Kamala Khan's own story. So that's why Ms. Marvel number 9 is my click of the week.
And while Agent 70 I have had, well, it's normal. We've pretty much had the same pick, except for I would probably added Mockingbird to that list because that was.
Oh, for honorable mention,
yeah. Because that was a genuinely good pick, I think. And this is not unprecedented because it's not like we've done this before, but.
Roddy, let us. Give us the pick. Nine. Give us the pick. You're going underwater.
Miss Marvel number 9 is my pick for similar reasons. I didn't even do anything. It's weird. So there.
Nice. Cool. Alrighty. So before we move on to the news, let's get an ad read in. We'll do an ad for Busted Tees. This episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale each week. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as BB-8 Like, Thumbs Up, and Droid Evolution, inspired by Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and Bernie Larry 2016, pretty, 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 pretty good, inspired by Curb Your Enthusiasm, and much more are all on sale. To help keep our podcasts free, order from Busted Tees by going to cspn.us, that's cspn.us, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcasts Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner, and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today!
Alrighty. Let's see, we have cinematic news from Comic-Con, which is there's a lot of.
Woo! So, yeah, let's rapid fire all this stuff. Yep. There's a lot of it.
We had the first Transformers Combined Wars trailer.
Looks good.
That's a new. Is it only digital, online only series? Is that what this is?
Yes, it is through Machinima, and it's going to be on Go 90 at first, starting next Tuesday, I believe it is, and then coming to YouTube and whatever Machinima channel.
Right. It'll look good.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Cage trailer dropped.
Yeah, that was pretty epic. for any fans of the Woo coming through, shout out to Old Dirty Bastard, you know, rest in peace. That this was set to Shimmy Shimmy Y'all. I can imagine it bringing the house down.
Mm-hmm. I had some thoughts about this, but I did on another podcast, which should be out sometime this weekend if I get off my ass on it. But I will say this: how the
You're breaking up the body again?
Of course. How didn't they go for the face?
Every time, say something one more time.
Hold on. How's that? Still there? Still there?
In and out.
It's slight.
It comes and goes. It comes and goes. But I think what Roddy was saying is that during this trailer, without spoiling too much, they don't necessarily have Stormtrooper aim, but they don't aim for the head. And we all know from video games that it's important to aim for the head.
How is that now?
You know?
How do I sound now?
You're there.
You sound better.
Okay. Yeah, that was it. We'll go after this. I was like, that's ridiculous, especially him cold on a car door. But everybody's seen that trailer by now, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. The Defenders trailer came out. I did not see this trailer yet. I have not watched it.
It's on theclicknation.com. Thanks to Reddit.
There you go. There you go. There's some place to find it.
It's only like a minute long trailer, maybe.
Okay. And there's a. Oh, I did see this one though. The first Iron Fist teaser trailer came out as well during San Diego Comic Con. I like that this retells the trailer really does a good recap of the origin story, although it alters it somewhat.
Yep.
See, Iron Fist has probably more villains than any other Marvel Netflix show. Okay. Maybe the Hand is involved. Because there's a whole bunch of... Oh, yeah, Hand was in...
Daredevil,
never mind.
Right, it's a different country, too. There's probably going to be lots of various Kung Fu masters. Like, it's probably going to draw on a lot of the... You don't think it's going to draw on a lot of the Fraction stuff? The Fraction and Aja stuff?
Well, funny you mentioned that, because the logo they use, and Aja even said it herself, kind of seems similar to what they used on Immortal Iron Fist.
Right.
That could very well be the case. We don't know. But it's still, I think it looks like he's going to be in New York, so there's a good possibility he's going to be the Hand still.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Daredevil Season 3 ordered by Netflix. Surprise. It won't come until, like, 2018, though. I read that today.
Yeah.
Okay,
now here's the big thing. So basically, I'll go ahead and take care of this one. So they had, and thank you to Comics Alliance for saving me so much work, because this doc was so much more crazier than what's what. Oh, so anyway, so we had a bunch of news from the Marvel Hall H panel during Comic-Con. There was a bunch of events. I'm going to start at the bottom, because let's face it, they started off with Showstopper personally. So we know who the new Captain Marvel will be. It is Brie Larson. We got a logo for that. There's been people saying she might be a little too young for the part, but go with it. Even I think Kelly Sue DeConnick had some comments on it, but she's still with it, you know, because that was her baby. Let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 had a couple of announcements. We know who Kurt Russell's playing. He's playing Star Wars Lord's dad, as the rumor said. However, it is not Jason of Spartak. It is Ego, the Living Planet.
What?
Yes. So, yeah, there is that. Sylvester Stallone's going to have a cameo in it, which I think that's been rumored anyway. And Elizabeth Debicki is playing Aisha, which I guess is her. No, leader of the Sovereign People. I don't know who that is. And so it doesn't. I know that's a character that's probably come up in the Lady Guardians issues, but I don't necessarily know who that is. And they had the whole cast there. And the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to get a theme park ride called Mission
Aisha Blackout. Aisha is Adam Warlock's her.
Okay, right. So it is her. Okay. I wasn't sure about that. Okay. Spider-Man had, I think they showed some concept art featuring the Vulture for Spider-Man Homecoming. I think they had a reel, but they didn't. Oh, and Guardians of the Galaxy had a trailer, or not a trailer, but some highlight reels from the new film, but they didn't put it out. Thor Ragnarok also did the same thing. Let's see, was there anything else to the Spider-Man stuff? Yeah, no, they're just kind of talking about stuff. Doctor Strange got a trailer, and the trailer was dope. I have it in the document if you hadn't seen it. Let's see, Mads Mikkelsen is the villain. They talked to him and Tweddle Egeafor about their characters. Let's see, we also got the logo for for Doctor Strange. And also, while we're at it, this is some stuff that came out afterwards. Apparently, Brendan Brin Bratt is going to be, or is rumored to be, in the in Doctor Strange. But
he's on the movie poster, isn't he?
Exactly, which is what I was about to say. So that's where people are getting that. Let's see, what else? Strange, Ragnarok. Okay, we have what I think is the... Oh, well, and also Marvel logo. There's a new Marvel Studios logo that they previewed.
Yeah, it's like a it's an animation.
Yeah, going to, like they put in front of all the shows.
Well, it's a logo and animation opening.
Right, it's basically the thing they put in front of all the shows now. So, but now the big news for me personally was the Black Panther cast was there at San Diego Comic Con. We also seen the logo for Black Panther. Michael B. Jordan was there, and we found out who he's playing, who is Eric Killmonger. We also find out who Lupita Nyong'o is going to be playing, who was rumored to be in the cast. She's playing Nadia. Wait,
isn't it Nakia?
Nakia, excuse me. I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, come on. You're Wasp. So overwhelmed by the news, right?
Yeah, no, because for some reason I was thinking Wasp. But anyway.
You're getting to the big news. The big, big news. Yes, yes, the crossover between universes. Worlds colliding.
Yes. What? Yes. Lupita Nyong'o is playing Nakia, who's also Malice, and she also came out later on, kind of giving a little bit of what may be the plot, saying there's basically two villains that are going to be going after Black Panther, which seems like she's going to be one, because her character was a former Dora Milaje, who turns into Malice, who is named Malice, so it's probably going to be her and Eric, and also has some ties to Eric Killmonger, so they're probably going to be the villains, which is going to be weird, because I don't think we've ever seen Michael B. Jordan as a villain in anything that I know of. And last... Say,
what about what I was just talking about?
Well, yeah. Sorry. Last, but not least, Denai, or is it...
Denai Guerrero.
Guerrero from... Anyway, Michonne, I apologize to her for screwing up her name. No, that meant to do that. But Michonne from The Walking Dead will be in The Black Panther as Okoye. One of the...
That's crazy.
So that's going to be beautiful.
That's crazy. Talk about... That's what I was talking about before, Tim. Worlds colliding.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was a picture of her and Michael Rooker at one point during San Diego, because he was... Matter of fact, Michael Rooker was there, and he was in Yondu costume, and Yondu now has a fin.
Yes.
And they did a picture together.
That's pretty awesome. Look at that. Yeah. Crossing from the Walking Dead universe into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Pretty cool.
So that was pretty much that. Hopefully that Thor Ragnarok stuff and the Guardian stuff that they showed will make it out there online somewhere, but if they hadn't done it by now, I don't know why not.
I don't know if this made it into your news feed list, but I just wanted to mention that I think it was Brie Larson that tweeted out a picture of the female cast members who were on hand at San Diego for the Marvel Cinematic Universe films, and it was girl power, you know, the Marvel version, and it was a pretty impressive picture.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of different. I think Karen Gillian also sent also had a similar picture of that. Yeah. Also, but yes, I did see that picture, but it's not in the.
You know, I was about to say for all the teasing that Marvel gets for DC beating them to the punch for having a lead. Female hero movie out first before Marvel. It's impressive to see the cast of actresses, of actors, of female actors who are there on hand as part of the Marvel Universe. It's an impressive cast.
Indeed.
Alrighty. Let's see. What do you have here? You have there is a report that there is a Han Solo trilogy in the works with star Alden Ehrenreich. Mm-hmm. Ghost Rider has been announced for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, and it is not the Ghost Rider you may have thought it would be. It's going to be Dom Toretto Ghost Rider, a.k.a. Robbie Reyes. Because, God forbid, you have a Ghost Rider that's on a motorcycle, you would immediately associate it with Nicolas Cage. Instead, we have Fast and Furious Ghost Rider, Robbie Reyes, appearing on the next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's exciting because it is an actual, honest-to-goodness Marvel hero that is going to be appearing on this. And, a hero that we all sort of thought might be a candidate for a Netflix show, but now he's going to be appearing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And what some people are speculating is that because of the darker tone and the later time slot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it might make it more conducive to crossing over into the Netflix realm.
Yeah, and I think Clark Gregg had also said something about maybe there's a potential Bobby and Hunter coming back.
Right.
At least that's what he would want. And I think he also said something about wanting to cross over with the Netflix stuff, too. if there was a way to do that, which there is, but
you know. Cool. Alrighty. And Lily Birdsell, the actress, has been added in a recurring role for the fourth season of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
Moving on, there's some animation, Marvel animation that was announced, a Secret Wars and Civil War animated series, a Hulk movie, and Guardians of the Galaxy has also been renewed by Marvel Animation.
All good things.
Yep. So did you guys watch the Wonder Woman trailer?
Indeed. Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I think that was the biggest highlight because it wasn't disappointing. It was actually really good.
Yeah, indeed. And I guess speaking of that, since we the Justice League trailer also came out, and that was actually surprisingly good. It was a definitely
wasn't really a trailer.
They called it a sizzle reel. And
yeah, but that was trailer looking.
Yeah, it was. It was. It just didn't have the background voiceover of "In a World."
Right.
So,
but it was actually pretty good, though. I mean, it was. It's put this way, it's a decidedly different tone than say Batman Superman, trailer stuff was, and even a lighter tone in certain places. Like they even cracked with the jokes with that one, and in Wonder Woman trailer. So, and then we also got the Suicide Squad trailer. Well, that one wasn't also with the trailer. They called it the soundtrack remix, and it had some footage from the
film. Wasn't there like a 3-minute?
Yeah, they showed like a
footage.
Exactly, they showed my understanding was that they showed an extended clip or a bunch of extended clips from the movie.
It was a series of clips. Yeah, there was a bunch of this, but they also had the music from the movie. That was kind of the key behind it.
Roddy, you watched it?
Yeah.
This point, I'm staying away because I don't want to see any more of this movie. I kind of want to go in as fresh as possible.
It is actually making me, because wanting to go see, and Suicide Squad comes out next week, is actually making me want to go see it. Now, maybe part of that has something to do with the end of that footage with Margot Robbie coming out of the elevator.
Mm.
Maybe. But, I know, I'm kind of curious. I'm still not really sold on the Will Smith Deadshot thing and whatever, but
yeah, his whole presence throws me off every time I see him in clips.
Yeah. And there was a part of that footage where he was... you guys have seen it, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't spoil it then. There was a part of that kind of reminded me of one of his old movies. There's a line that was said in...
Really? Is it Wild Wild West?
No. Let's put it away. You would probably know it. Is a line that's just being spoke to him?
Is it the fat lady singing?
No.
Okay. No. You know which movies I'm going to. All right. Anyway, so enough with the spoilerish talk. We'll move on to some other stuff that was announced. Dope, the actress Kiersey Clemons from the movie Dope has been cast in the movie Flash as its version of Iris West. The Aquaman movie has hooked a writer from the Gangster Squad movie. Let's see. Roddy, you want to take over with this? I don't watch Gotham.
Wait, where are we?
I moved past Aquaman.
I'm sorry, I moved some stuff around, so I'm just
That's all right.
Yeah, so Gotham had a season 3 trailer. I didn't actually watch it yet, so I can't really speak too much about what was in it. But, it's coming back on soon. There was a trailer. Go watch it.
Cool. All right.
Justice League action trailer.
Yeah.
I watched that. I'll give the show a chance.
Yeah, and that's what I said when I wrote up the article for TheClickNation.com. that I was, as one of those ones who liked Justice League and the iteration there was, I wasn't really super thrilled about it. The art style's kind of throwing me off a little bit. But I'm willing to give this a chance. It seemed like it might be all right.
All right. DC's Powerless Comic Con panel shows a fun take on superhero. This is the whatchamacallit? What channel is this? Is this the
NBC
live action show? So I didn't watch. Did they show anything? Like a quick trailer or anything like that?
I don't think I saw anything online. Okay.
There wasn't anything online. But,
All right, so it's just the panel.
Now, okay, good. Matt Wang, wasn't he at the panel or said something about that? He was talking about that earlier in the week?
He did talk about that.
Yes, we did actually have a live correspondent at San Diego Comic-Con International.
I think the takeaway is, I think it sounds like that show's actually shipping up to be better than what we thought it was, or would be.
The Flash Season 3 trailer gives the first look at Kid Flash and the Flashpoint universe and new villain.
Yes, okay. We see Wally in the suit.
He doesn't look as goofy as someone else in the suit we saw today. We'll get to that.
Oh no, we'll get to that, okay.
I saw a trailer or at least footage from Vitson Season 2, the animated series. I guess, spoiler alert, Prometheus is the Arrow Season 5 big bad.
Really? I wonder how they're going to change his costume to make it look realistic and/or convincing.
Is there like a big goofy helmet thing?
Exactly.
Katie Cassidy from Arrow, aka Black Canary, has struck a deal to appear across all the CW DC TV shows, even though she's dead.
She's not
dead.
Because Flashpoint sounds like it might be, because Flashpoint is going across all of the shows, so therefore that might not be the case.
The Killing Joke animated movie is in theaters, and I guess it's about to be in...
It is actually out on digital right now.
Okay.
Because they only did... That basically was only a two-night thing. They did it like on theaters, and it is out on digital as we speak.
All right. Have any of you watched it?
No, I have no plans to.
Yeah, I haven't read
the theory, so...
I got spoiled on what the big controversy is because it's right here in the next the next news story.
Well, actually, the next news story is the Matt Ryan as John Constantine in Justice League Dark trailer.
Well, yeah, that's true, but the fact that us bringing up Killing Joke was what you were referring to. It deserves, you know, because basically that's talking about the
relationship.
A couple of characters in the thing. We won't go into that.
Oh, okay. That's spoilery.
So it's gonna be a Star Trek Discovery. Series or something?
So that is the new series that they've been talking about that's going to happen early next year. So the funny part, and they had a little teaser of it with some rough-looking graphics, but it still looks all right to me with the new ship. It looks like they're going back to some old designs for the ship that they're using, and it has something to do with the Starship Discovery. Now, the funny part about this is the letters of all the Star Trek names have all, you know, TNG, VOY, you know, DS9, all those. The initials for this one is STD.
Oh, no!
However, because of that... somebody from CBS saying, no, we're calling it, the letters we're using for that is DSC, because of all the STD jokes that were around.
That's funny. Okay. What do you guys want to
do? Greg Rucka, Nicola Scott's Black Magic is going to be adapted for television. Yep. And that's it for the cinematic news. Let's get to, so we have all the trailers, which we already talked about. Good job, mm-hmm. Roddy. And is this comic news?
Yeah.
Okay. Comic news. United States Postal Service celebrates Wonder Woman's 75th anniversary with new line of stamps. Hasbro reveals new Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Ms. Marvel figures, and more.
Take a look at those. Those are cool. The next one after that is just some close-up pictures of most of them.
Oh my goodness, Roddy, we're going to be doing some hunting because some of these sets are not that appealing. Some of the, you know, like it's unlike the X-Men set where I just said, you know what, why not just get them all?
Mm-hmm.
Not like, you know, it's a little bit like Pokemon, right? But in all seriousness, some of these sets, you know, you're kind of confused. Like, why do I need this figure? But guess what? Where did they sneak this Ms. Marvel figure that everyone's going to be hunting down?
Exactly.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. They've got a Nico Minoru, which is a weird pick, but hey, all right.
I mean, that's cool. You know, eventually you can put together your Runaways, but come on, Kamala Khan. Like, you know, some of these characters, you know, you're trying to figure out why are they put together in these sets.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. I kind of want that Brother Voodoo one, though.
Yeah, yeah, I want to get the Iron Fist from that, too, because that's pretty cool.
And, of course, they have movie versions of Doctor Strange ones, so that's all there.
Yeah, they got a nice old-school Green Goblin in there, and obviously with the clone stuff, they're going to put in a new Jackal.
Yeah.
And since we're off of movie news, and I'm going to make sure we talk about this before the end of the show, I guess today we saw the first look of Superman from the Supergirl CW show.
Right. Somebody get that kid a sandwich. That's from Captain America, people.
I made the joke today that he looks like he's straight out of the 70s with his haircut and look. And boy, that tweet got some coverage. So apparently a lot of people agreed and added their own jokes to it. But yeah, I'll notice. We'll see. Hopefully it'll look better on TV than the Photoshop image. Yeah, I was saying hopefully it's just a bad Photoshop. Hopefully it's a bad Photoshop put together for him because yikes.
Somebody get that kid a sandwich. Oh my god, that is so bad, yo.
Alright, back to the comic news.
I'm sorry.
See, to me, it's not even so much that he looks malnourished. It's like his whole head just looks funny. He's got this, like,
now you guys are going to watch Captain America First Avenger again. You're not going to see that scene the same again.
Oh, no, I totally knew what you were talking about. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Tim. You were saying his head is too big for his body.
No, that's his hair. The hairdo looks weird. He's got like a grease hairdo, like movie grease.
Grease lightning? Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, he looks like he needs like a leather jacket on.
Oh, no.
Wait, didn't somebody compare him to like Lego Superman?
People were saying he was the Superman from the Flashpoint Paradox, the Superman after deprived of the sun or whatever.
Oh, no!
Let's see. Maybe I can go back through my mentions and find some of the more hilarious ones.
Was that same one with him and... There was a tweet with him and Henry Cavill Superman?
Okay, so let's see. Looks like, yeah, it looks like the skinny, malnourished Superman from Flashpoint Paradox.
Oh, no. I'm totally going to tweet
out. I guess he's from Teen Wolf. Yeah. So a girl was disappointed with that he left Teen Wolf for that. Someone says trash. He looks like he's suffering from the flu.
Oh, no.
Superman has Downs and a calcium deficiency.
Oh, no. No.
Superman is the most uncool superhero now and forever.
Oh, my gosh.
He looks like a bad cosplay.
Yeah, I think I did see that one, but I want to definitely add, it looks like that kid, you know, get that kid a sandwich. I got to tweet that one.
Yeah. Kmart brand Superman. Someone says new Superman. Dude needs to eat a sandwich.
Oh, okay. Someone did get it.
Yeah. Mm. Great value Superman.
Oh, no.
And then the last one was, he looks like an assistant manager at Banana Republic.
Oh, no.
Now I need to, find the... Okay, hold on. I'll just talk about it. I need to actually... Of course, my screen wants to start doing their stuff. I'll share an image in a second here, but we can move on to the next news article, which I think was more toys.
Yeah, so, Netflix.
Look at the Star Wars Rebels... Star Wars toys coming from Rebels to Rogue One.
Right, and also the Netflix, Daredevil and them are also getting toys.
Okay.
Those Netflix heroes, the sculpts on those are awesome.
Yeah, they look pretty good.
They're actually like almost statue quality. Obviously they're not statue quality, but they're really good.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Let's see. Rocket and Groot get a patch care of NASA.
That was pretty cool too. That one got some notice on my Twitter and Instagram feed and Facebook too, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. We will now have a new Black Panther book in addition to the one that we already have. This one will be called World of Wakanda. It will be written by Roxane Gay, who is a noted feminist person of color writer. There will also be, this one is also being co-written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, and there will also be some poetry in there by some poet whose name is escaping from right now. No, it's probably an article that I'm not digging out.
I was about to say, look at that, Ta-Nehisi passing on the comic book writing knowledge, because if you recall, when he first started, he was still, you know, pretty uncomfortable altering his style to, you know, from prose to a comic book style writing, but now he's, kind of gained some experience and is passing it on to another writer.
Yeah, and non-comic book writer. And this will also be her first comic being written, so people are excited about that. Yona Harvey is the poet who will also contribute to the book.
That's cool. Here's some exciting news.
Never mind.
What were you going to say?
No, I was about to say, this basically, as the name would apply, talks about the things going on around the world of Wakanda. This will sound like the first arc is going to deal with the Midnight Angels who've been showing up in Black Panther, and this will be a story on them starting off, but then it'll just go off and go into other things.
Filling in some of the blanks is filling in some of the world that Coates is creating. Or repopulating. That's kind
actually,
of the.
And speaking of that, if you actually read Black Panther in this week, there in the back of it, there is a map of Wakanda and some stuff that Ta-Nehisi Coates has been kind of filling out about the world. It basically shows the different lands and the namings of them and some things. So it's a pretty good look. I did a screen cap of it. I should have brought it up.
Is Mount Doom in there? anyway.
Speaking of screen caps.
There we go.
Yeah.
So here's Superman and Supergirl.
Oh, you're breaking up, but yeah. Yeah, he does look a little anorexic.
Yikes. Alrighty. Doesn't it look like she could kick his, our next story is fans of Richard Rider rejoice. The original Nova is returning in a new ongoing series. So
I'm still breaking up.
Still breaking up a little bit. Alrighty. Wow, this is news I did not know. This is pretty cool. IDW is going to release a Jack Kirby artist edition of Fantastic Four. That's pretty cool.
They've been doing stuff like this, so this is, I guess this is the first one of this one.
Yeah. Alrighty. Okay. In other news, IDW and DC have announced that there's going to be a new Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures. This is on the heels of previous Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures. Am I not right?
That is correct.
There you go.
And I believe there's also going to be another Star Trek Green Lanterns crossover series.
Okay.
And looks like that one says Winter 2016, even though Okay, sure.
Alrighty. Let's see here. So Google introduces Bubble Zoom, the coolest way to read comics. So it's a new feature that highlights text bubbles as you read comics in Google Play Books.
Yeah, essentially. As opposed to how Comixology does it with just the whole panels, just goes bubble with the bubbles, looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's not out yet, so it's only on preview.
Gotcha. Titan revives Sharksploitation comic Hookjaw with Steve Spurrier and Connor Boyle. Oh, Cy Spurrier and Connor Boyle.
The only reason why I put that in there is because Sharknado's coming up.
I see. Afua Richardson is the new artist on Marvel Comics Blade, which was previously solicited a while back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or announced a while back, but now I guess it's moving forward.
Yep.
Okay, you talked about the Disney Park attraction. Inhumans versus X-Men. This is the next major Marvel Comics battle crossover. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. In video game news, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC on Tuesday.
Which is nice. Actually,
it's past Tuesday? Past.
So yes, they are out for PS4 and PC. I've heard rumors of Xbox One is like either today or tomorrow. Doesn't sound like they did much to them outside of make them work for newer consoles. It's $40 for each individual and $60 for the both of them, which is a little pricey for those games.
For older games, right.
Yeah, well, for the fact that they didn't do anything else to them except for make them run. They are both good games, mind you. If you hadn't played them, hey, maybe check them out, but that price is, mm-hmm. is a little steep. And I will also say that if you want a similar game to this, there's Marvel Heroes, which is free, which I brought up on the show before. Gotcha. It is not, it's pretty much a spiritual successor. It's not the same type, the same direct game.
Mm-hmm. It's not as mission-based, right?
It is mission-based. You know, it's quest-based. Okay. Like, Marvel Heroes is more of an MMO, but you have direct control of the heroes. In Marvel Ultimate Alliance, you have a squad of four
right.
that you're rolling around with that you can pick from. And in the second one, you're even, like, pretty much going through the story of the original Civil War.
Gotcha.
So at some point, you can only pick from certain characters. And the characters you have, like, powers. Like, so you could do, say, like, if you have Wolverine and Colossus together, whatever, they'll do a fastball special, and you have people that can do, like, parallel, you know, joint okay. attacks and stuff, that kind of stuff. So they were really cool games for the time, and I think they were probably, it sounds like they play all right now, but the price is just kind of silly.
Gotcha. All righty. Next up, a major Spider-Man villain that has long been teased is returning, actually is going to return in true form for the clone conspiracy in the pages of Amazing Spider-Man. One former Superior Spider-Man is going to be returning. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so we wonder how they were going to bring it back, and surely enough, there it is. So, but we
there
did
it
get
is.
One.
About the dates?
Yeah, we now know the dates of San Diego Comic-Con for the next year, which is July 19th through the 23rd.
Okay.
2017.
Alrighty. Let's see. Boom Slam. Is that a wrestling comic?
It is.
A roller derby. Roller derby.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Boom Slam on the way from Pamela Ribon and Veronica Fish. It's a roller derby comic. Has roller derby gotten that big that it needs a comic? Listen, roller derby is big for a lot of people, so.
Yeah.
The new Batman introduces multiplayer to Telltale's adventure games, okay?
Yeah, so Batman has a Telltale Adventure game that is coming out quite soon. The Telltale games have pretty much been story-based and episodic, and this one's no different. The only difference with doing this one is that you can have other people, like say if you were streaming this on Twitch, and as people have done when playing these games, at certain points you have to make decisions, and those decisions can affect what happens throughout the story. Later, it's almost like a choose-your-own-adventure in a way. Or in some cases, you just straight up die, but that's the case. So this one's adding multiplayer where you can, say, be on Twitch, stream it, and then have people kind of help make the choices for you, and it will go from there. That's kind of cool. It's not out yet, but it'll be quite soon.
All right, so we're going to wrap up comic news with two stories. I'm going to do them a little out of order. Jack Davis, legendary Mad Magazine and EC comics artist, has just passed away at the age of 91. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
And I wanted to end with a story that I believe was confirmed today.
Yes.
Jeff Johns is the new president of DC Entertainment. So his fingerprints are going to be all over the DC comic universe and DC Entertainment in general.
Right.
I mean, that's probably a good thing, right? Hopefully he can, pry Zack Snyder's cold fingers off, cold dead fingers off of things, right?
Well, I mean, that is what people are saying. But I guess we'll see how that works out.
Alrighty.
Good for him.
Cool. Anything else we want to bring up before I do an ad read?
No, I think that's it. Unless you want to bring up that hip-hop family tree. If that was
I totally missed that because I didn't read it this week yet. But yeah, this week's hip-hop family tree has a great cover of, I hate to call them Run DMC, but it is supposed to be Run DMC because Jam Master Jay is not there. So this is Run and DMC, but calling them Run DMC is, feels weird without Jam Master Jay.
Hmm.
But in an insert this week, there is an actual, a disc that you can play on a tabletop. Turntable.
Yes, for people of a certain vintage, magazines used to do this, especially like Mad Magazine would have like little records that they would put in, little plastic records, such as the one that Agent Cerati's folded up.
There it is.
Yeah, and these used to be cool. That's why I bought it. And apparently, they have a free download. And I think and Dirt and other people have been putting out the link to the SoundCloud. Do you want to listen to it, like a little piece of it, real quick? Or
sure, go ahead if you got it queued up.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a story?
Please tell me a story, too.
You know, I think I'll tell you the story of my life.
You tell me. I want to hear, too.
Well, it went pretty much like this.
This has got to be the greatest record of the year.
It's the joy! What you know, we're gonna get down and turn it up. What you know, we're gonna make noise.
That was cool.
Some of that down because it was clipping. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, that's just a sampling of what's on that.
Sure, that sounded pretty good. If your local comic shop does not have a copy of that, unfortunately, at Diamond it is on back order. That was my understanding because my comic shop ran into a minor problem with getting copies of it, and I had to track it down at another shop. And apparently, it's in demand.
Yeah, my shop didn't have it at all. And the girl was like, what? Who? I'm like, and then I had to explain to her what it was, and then I had to do the same thing at Second and Charles. Then I had to go way across town to go get...
To track it down, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, what are you going to do? But, by the way, Volume 4 of Hip Hop Family Tree did come out. I haven't received my copy yet, but it did come out last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So, the cover is Salt and Pepper, if you're looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, our last ad read of the night is for MyComicShop.com. Today's podcast is sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Go to CSPN.us, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, click on the My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother schlepping to the local comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through CSPN.us. Do it today! There you go.
Am I still sounding weird?
No, you're right.
Sound all right so far.
All right, just in time to do the close.
There you go.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight's episode of Comic Book Chronicles. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDLGG98 and at CBCron. Agent 70 is at Agent_70 on Twitter and Instagram. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt and go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. We'll be back next week. I actually don't know if I'm going to be on next week again.
Oh!
So maybe another three-man team minus me, plus Dirt. We shall see.
You got it.
But we are the Comic Chronicles and we are signing off.
Peace!